Let me introduce what we're trying to do. David's going to explain to you what this is all about, the field manual and all of these things. David will be explaining it to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, Without faith, what? It is what? It's impossible to please God. You want to hear that? You're going to stand before God. You are going to be judged by God. And if you don't have any faith, you're out of here. I want you to understand that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what this is all about. I really, really, really want you to be aware of this. What about John 3:16? You know that one? Whosoever believeth in Him, what? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him cannot start in the middle of the verse. Isn't that amazing? Should not perish, but have what? You want everlasting life? You want to live forever? You want to be forever in the presence of God? The Bible says you got to have faith. That's what this is all about. And I hope you'll understand that we're not here to learn a bunch of facts. It has nothing at all to do with learning a bunch of facts. What we're trying to do is to help us understand. What about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? But by grace are you saved. You know that one? Through faith. Thank you. Thank you for mouthing the answer. You know, you can say it out loud if you want to. I mean, you know, and if you're wrong, everybody just laugh at you, and that's all right. It'll make them enjoy this class even more. Look, what did he say? What did Paul say? By grace are you saved through faith. Here's God's part. Here's all that God has ever done for it. But not everybody's going to be saved by the grace of God. You are saved through faith. You've got to understand that. Folks, what's this all about? What's the importance of the journey we are about to make? Here it is. And that is, by grace are ye saved through faith. What about Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? Young people, you can sing, I'm crucified with Christ. But can you quote that verse? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Shall we sing the whole verse? You can't start right in the middle of that song. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You want to live by faith? You want to crucify sin in your life? You're never going to do it. That's what this is all about. You want to grow spiritually? That's what this is all about. And you've got to understand that. It's not just something that we're trying to do. And when we did this study of the Old Testament and took about 3 years to do it, I think a part of the strength of this very church goes back to what we did in 2009, 10, and 11. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart what we did 2 years ago when we had that 5 o'clock class for an entire year. I believe that's part of the strength of the church. Why? Because that's what faith is all about. But you've got to have something to hang your faith on. If I ask you, why do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? You cannot tell me why you believe Jesus is the Son of God without saying water to wine and open the eyes of the blind and every bit of it. And so, you know, I don't care. I mean, you don't have to get to heaven and know that it was Bartimaeus. And you don't have to get to heaven and knowing there were two men outside of Jericho. You don't have to get to, but you have got to understand that we have got to understand what the Bible says. And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that we live by faith in the Son of God. What about this one? What about this? This is the victory, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that does that. That's a little bit harder. This is the victory that overcomes. Will that help you? This is the victory that overcomes. Can you finish the rest of it? Some of you got your mask on. I know every one of us got your mask on. I knew you were saying the answer and everything. And I'm glad. You'd be good if you'd speak out. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What's your weakness? What is your weakness? The thing you struggle most with in your life. What is it? This is the victory that overcomes, and you put in that blank right there. The thing that you struggle most with. The victory that overcomes that is faith. Folks, that's where we are headed in this Sunday night study, and I encourage you to understand as we begin talking about all of these things, wait a minute. Where does faith come from? You know this one. You've heard Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes where? Hearing. If you don't hear, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And the very thing that we're going to talk about, we're starting with the Old Testament because, you know, 37%, I think David said this morning, 37% were not a part of this Old Testament study. We've got to get back and look at the Old Testament. But we're not going to teach it like we did last time. We study the Old Testament. We're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to really focus on the coming of Jesus. And you and I need to understand faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Where does greater faith come from? You want greater faith? Luke chapter 17, verse 5 said, increase our faith. Where does greater faith come from? If faith comes by hearing, where does greater faith come from? That's simple enough, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Where does greater faith come from? Comes by greater hearing. Now, the onus is upon every one of us. There's no way that we can teach all of these things and cover all of these Bible stories without you being involved in it, and we're really dependent upon you. Young people, your life is, you're in the very critical part of your life. Where you are 5 years from now, 10 years from now in relationship to your God is being determined by what the attitudes that you're forming right now. Lord, increase my faith. It won't happen unless you take time to get involved in this. David, come and tell us about it.
So in January of 2009, we began a program on Sunday nights, if you want to call it a program. This is a teaching effort that we called Soldiers of Christ. Are you aware of how much the New Testament talks about Christians being soldiers? I mean, it describes us in a number of different metaphors, doesn't it? You think about Christians being sheep and a number of different things, but there's a lot that the New Testament has to say about Christians being soldiers. We're not going to develop all of these by any stretch, but I just want you to think about verses that talk about Christians as soldiers. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, we're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to gain our strength. We are to find strength as a soldier. Where do you gain your strength? Where do you find your strength? It only comes from the Lord. In that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, what's that passage about in Ephesians chapter 6? The armor of God. As Christians, we've got to put on, you remember what the Bible says there? Put on the, do you remember the word? It doesn't just say put on the armor of God. There's a word before the word armor. The full or the whole armor of God. What does that tell you as a Christian? It tells you that I am to look at myself, and God needs to look at me as being like a soldier. And so as you go through those pieces of armor, there's one weapon. There's one weapon that we have. What's that weapon? Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the one weapon. That's the one weapon that we have in our arsenal. There's a lot of pieces of defense, and even the word of God acts as a defense, but it's a two-edged sword. It's the one thing that we have to help us in our efforts as we are to fight the good fight. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said it more than once. Fight the good fight. We are engaged in a warfare. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 is not even on the screen on this listing, but that's where he talks about to Timothy about engaging in the good warfare. That we as Christians are in this warfare against who? It's not against flesh and blood. We're in this warfare against the devil. And so that's our enemy. As soldiers, you have an enemy. You've got to identify who is this enemy. And that enemy is the devil himself. So we've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared to engage in battle against him. And then you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Talks about a good soldier is one who will endure hardships. Talks about the fact, when you get down to verse 4 especially, that a soldier is one that cannot afford to become entangled in the affairs of this life. Why do soldiers go off to basic training? Why not just bring basic training to your house? Why not just bring boot camp and bring it to your house? I'll just stay home and do boot camp. Why do you have to go off somewhere? Because you've got to get away from the entanglements of this life to devote yourself to becoming a soldier. What do I need to do as a Christian? I cannot afford to become entangled in the affairs of this life. And then the last part of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, I do all of this so that I can please the one who enlisted me. Who enlisted you in the army of God? Who did that? Did you get drafted against your will? No, you didn't get drafted against your will. You learned the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it changed you. He enlisted you, and what do you want to do more than anything? You want to please Him. And so we started this program, this teaching effort, on Sunday nights back in January 2009. And what are we going to call it? Well, we thought we're going to call this Soldiers of Christ. And think about the responsibility that we have as Christians to be prepared for battle, no matter what that is. How can I be prepared? I've got my weapon. I've got this book that supplies me unto everything for life and godliness. And so, those of you who are part of this, we had kind of a logo that went with this, and down at the bottom of that logo, it said, here's the threefold purpose of what this program is about. One, it's about helping us to sharpen our swords. Obviously, this is the sword of the Spirit, but the design of this program is to help us to sharpen our knowledge of the Word of God. How can I engage in battle if I'm not ready, if I have not sharpened my skills, and if I don't know the enemy, and I am not prepared to answer and to give a defense? I've got to be ready. I've got to sharpen my sword. Becoming more sharp in my efforts helps me to be equipped to go and do more for the Lord than I ever could before. The more knowledge I have of God's Word, the more I can serve Him. And obviously, as Christians, was it the first song tonight, Diane? I think it was the first song. We're marching to Zion. That's what we're trying to do. We don't have our sights as Christians set any lower than that. We've got them set as high as they can go. We're trying to get to heaven. And we're trying to get to heaven together. And so we wanted in this teaching effort, as Dan has talked about, to build our faith, to build our knowledge of the Word of God. And so what we did, and those of you who are here, you know this, but we're trying to explain this in brief terms for those who are not a part of this. What we did is we divided this study up of the Old Testament. We divided it up into various sections. And the very first thing we did is we studied a simple overview of the Bible. Simple question. And this, I'm not going to go over this because Dan's going to go over this at the end tonight. Just a simple overview, just simple questions that give us an overview of what the Bible's all about. And then we just started with the book of Genesis, and we started walking through the book of Genesis. And so we had questions that were involved with the books of Genesis and Exodus. Took the books of Moses and divided them into two sections. So we talked about Genesis and Exodus and studied that for a period of time. And then we spent some time talking about the books of Leviticus through Deuteronomy. And then we got to the books of history. And in the books of history, we divided those up. And we tried to divide them up chronologically, at least as best as we could at the time, with what you can do chronologically. And so we talked about the books of history from the book of Joshua. If y'all know your Bible history, you got the book of Joshua, and then Judges, and then, sorry, boy, that was a hard question. So you got the book of Joshua, and then you got the book of Judges, and then you got the book of, so you got the book of Joshua. Y'all heard of Joshua? Blackmer. So you got the book of Joshua, then you got the book of Judges, and then you got the book of... That was a little bit better. You all don't sound really confident. That's not a trick question. So then you got the book of Ruth, and then you've got the book of 1 Samuel, and then you got the book of 2 Samuel. You know what those books tell us about? They tell us about the kings. They tell us about King Saul, 1 Samuel. Tell us about King David, 2 Samuel. What do you have after that? 1 Kings, what does that tell us about? King Solomon, at least the first 13 chapters, first 12 chapters, you got King Solomon. So we divided up the books of history to talk about from Joshua through Solomon, from Joshua through the United Kingdom. Well, where do Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon fit in? So we took a break from looking at the books of history and tried to put in the books of poetry, to try to see where they might fit in the study of the kings, especially of David and Solomon. And then we came back to finish up talking about the books of history and picked up with not the United Kingdom, because that's Saul, David, and Solomon, but picked up with the divided kingdom when Solomon died and the kingdom was divided. And we carried that all the way through 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther from the time that they went into captivity until the time that they were restored back to Israel. And so what we did with that is we had various cards, and I'll talk a little bit more about these in a little bit. And what we did is to try to present some information in a way that could be easily remembered. And so we put together what we called a field manual. And it's just a little binder. That these things are expensive. You know that? They've gotten more. They've gone up like let me think. They've gone up like 70% in cost since we did this about 9 years ago. But we put together a field manual. And what this field manual was intended to do, and I saw that I skipped the books of prophets, and obviously we talked about the books of prophets after we talked about the rest of the history, and we tried to fit those prophets in with where they fit in the history. But what we did with this field manual is we wanted something that was kind of a handy size, you know, not something that was like 11 by 17 and folded over and, you know, make it hard for you to carry, but something that would be a handy size that you could carry with you, that some people carry in their purse. I don't think Novell carries it in his purse, but I believe Jackie Creary. I'm just making sure that you know which direction I'm looking here. It's not Novell Brown who keeps it in his purse, but I think Jackie at times it can be found in her purse. And, you know, Novell, you know, he just keeps it in his pocket with him. But some kind of a handy size so that you readily have this information available to you. What we did is we said, okay, here's Genesis and Exodus. What do we need to learn? As for example, what do we need to learn from Genesis and Exodus? And so we pulled out some key facts. What are some key facts that are good to know from Genesis and Exodus? What was made on day one or day two or day three or day four? Or what was the ark made out of and who built the ark and how long and how wide and how tall was the ark and how long did it rain? And various key facts from Genesis and Exodus to help us to get some of those, and not just random facts, not just trivial facts, key facts to understand what the Bible teaches. In addition to just key facts, we said, okay, what are some key chapters for us to remember? For example, what happens in Exodus 20? We get the Ten Commandments. That's a good chapter. It may not be as important to know what happens in Exodus 23, but Exodus chapter 20 is a helpful chapter to know where it is. What happens in Genesis 6 through 9? That's where you read about the flood. If I wanted to know where to find the flood, it'd be helpful to, oh, that's in Genesis 6 through 9. And so we pulled out just some key, helpful chapters to know. In addition to the chapters, we pulled out some key locations, key doctrines, key truths that are taught, and where are those things located in the Bible? For example, where's the first prophecy about Jesus in the Bible? Genesis 3:15. That was one of the key facts that we had in our field manual. Where's the verse that teaches, that says that the world was created in 6 literal days? Well, you could read that in Genesis chapter 1. There's one single verse that says the world was created in 6 literal days. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. So not just a ton of these, but just key ones. Key locations, key chapters, and then key memory verses. Not just, sometimes it's helpful to know where a verse is located. You may not necessarily have to be able to quote the verse, like Exodus 20 verse 11, but it's helpful to know where that is. Other verses, it's helpful to be able to quote the verse. And so we didn't have a ton of those, but just some memory verses that would go along with that particular section. And there were individuals who went through and memorized every single bit of what we're talking about tonight. What we did with that information is we divided that information out onto three different levels. You've got these key facts, key chapters, key locations, key memory verses, but not everybody can learn all of that from all of these books. And so we divided them out into three different levels, trying to get maybe a level that was a little bit easier, a level that was a little bit harder, and then kind of the level that we might have considered the hardest information. And maybe not the hardest, but some of it was hard, but the facts and the information that if you got this level, this was the key level, and then maybe a little bit harder as you went. But we tried to come up with a name for these levels. What do you call them? We thought about bronze and silver and gold. That would make sense, right, for three different levels, but it's like, you know, that sounds nice, and we know what that means, but we wanted something biblical. You know, easy, medium, or hard. We wanted something biblical. Bronze silver and gold doesn't fit. We thought about the David level and the Josh level and the Dan level, and we thought about calling it that. You know, because David and Joshua and Daniel, now we're getting closer to Bible name, you know, Bible names. We're almost at some kind of Bible terminology, but you know, we didn't figure that would fly very well. So we came up with calling it the prophet, priest, and king levels. Not because prophet is easier than priest or the king is more, not that any of these are more harder, just the terms themselves, but Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And we just wanted some Bible terms that would help us to see where those levels were. And so when we talk in this program about the prophet card, that's the first card that has some of the easiest information on that card. When we talk about the priest level, the priest card, that's the next level, a little bit harder. When we talk about the king card, that's generally the harder information to memorize. But again, there were members of the church that went through and they memorized every single bit of it. And what we did even on the prophet level is when you look at the cards, there's even some highlighted parts of that for the little kids. Because little kids can't always memorize 60 key facts and memorize 4 or 5 memory verses. Some of them could, but so we tried to highlight just some areas that were intended for the little kids to help them to grab a hold and be able to say they had accomplished something in memorizing some of these things. So we gave out the field manuals, and as we walked through that over a 3-year period, we gave out those cards, and step by step, they were color-coded, and if you've been out to that Bible study corner out there, the same color code exists out there with those study books that are, those study materials that are out there. But it was designed to help us to get into the Word, to learn it, to study it, to write it upon our hearts. Where are we going from here? Well, it took us 3 years to teach the Old Testament, and then we took a break and we taught interpreting the Bible for about 4 or 5 months. We taught interpreting the Bible on Sunday nights for 4 or 5 months. We thought after we do that, then we'll teach the New Testament. Well, that was 2011 when we thought we would teach the New Testament. And you know, life happens and we just didn't touch the New Testament. All sorts of other things started happening and we were not able to get the New Testament. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits. And we're getting ready to start Sunday nights back. And guess what would be really nice to do on Sunday nights? Soldiers of Christ. But what do we have to do first? We've got to spend, not 3 years, but we've got to spend a little bit of time reviewing where we've been. We're not going to review in depth. We're not going to take 3 years to review the Old Testament. But we've got to review it so that everybody can sort of be caught up a little bit. But what we're going to try to do is focus the review on the New Testament. Focus the review of the Old Testament on the New Testament. Focus what we're talking about in the Old Testament on Jesus is coming, because that's ultimately where we're going in this particular part of our study, is to the New Testament. So that's going to kind of be where we focus our review. Do that for, we're not sure exactly how long, but for a few months, and then we'll get in to the New Testament. And once we hit the New Testament, we're not going to race through it. We're going to take our time. Took us 3 years to go through the Old Testament. How long will it take us to get through the New Testament? Who knows? We're not in a hurry. We just want to learn the material. We want to learn what the Bible says. So, if I can have these 4 young men to help me out, since you all volunteered so willingly by sitting on the front pew. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I do have field manuals available if you would like to have a field manual, but I'm not going to pass all of those out because I know some of you have them and I know some of you are saying I'm not really interested. So what these guys are going to do is they're going to pass out to you the first 4 cards that we had in the field manual that includes the overview cards, and this is what Dan's going to get up and review and go over as these guys are passing it out. So Dan, your turn.
Ready? Yeah. All right, let's get started. All right, what's the best book in the world? You got it, Katie. Where's Katie? Katie, what's the best book in the world? She got it. All right, there's a story behind that. You see, that's one of these key facts. And Ivan, where's Ivan? Amber, there's a little boy right there. He can learn that. You understand that? And that's what this is all about. And Levi and David are not here tonight, but all of those of you who have small children, this is designed. And so that's really what this is all about. And so if I ask you, what's the greatest book in the world? If I ask you, what are the two main parts of the Bible? What are they? You know those? Old Testament? And I bet you know the other one, right? I guess you know it, or at least you used to know it at one time, and it is a New Testament. All right? What's the best book in the world? The Bible. How many parts are there to the Bible? How many books are there in the Bible? How many books are there in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? Well, let's start with the Old Testament. How many books are there in the Old Testament? Does anybody know? Can I tell you a crazy way to remember that? I remember things crazy, and people think I'm crazy when I tell you. How many letters in the word old? Three. How many letters in the word testament? You got that? How many books are there in the Old Testament? There's 3 plus 9, there's 39. You got that? What is 3 times 9? 27. How many books in the New Testament? 27, all right? You don't have to remember it that way. I love my way of remembering it better than your way of forgetting it, though, okay? How many books are there in the Bible? 66. How many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. How many books are there in the New Testament? 27 books in the New Testament. About how many men wrote the Bible? Beth, does he know these answers? He's looking up here like he knows every one of these, all right? About how many men wrote the Bible? How many years did it take to write the Bible? From the time Moses sits down and writes the first book of the Bible until we get to the last book of the Bible, about how many years are involved in that? 1,600 years. What is the theme of the Bible? One word. The theme of the Bible is Jesus. And guess what? You just covered the prophet card. And this is where it all begins. All the years I spent as a missionary, in Fiji and some of those other places, and time in India, this is where it all starts. You open up the Bible, here it is. Here's the two testaments. What's the story of the Old Testament? What's the story of the New Testament? And it all begins just this simple. Now I want you to know, not all the cards are this simple. But you see the word prophet on that? You see the word prophet there? Look at the next card. And that is, here's the priest level. Start, if you don't know the prophet card, learn those key facts. That's so important to learn those key facts. And if you don't know them, spend some time. But you've got to do it. It's not going to happen in here. We're not going to go that slow. It's dependent upon you to get this, because the basis of faith is the story of the Bible. And the story of the Bible is made up of these Bible facts. And you've got to understand that. In what language was the Bible written in? That's a little bit harder. You see the priest level? The Old Testament is written to the Jews, therefore it would be written primarily in what language? Hebrew. What about the New Testament? It's written for all mankind. What was the universal language of the first century? English is sort of the universal language of our land in the first century. What was the universal language of the first century world? That's Greek, common Greek, koine. The word koine means common. And so God just gave the New Testament in English because everybody in the world could read English. You understand what I mean? I'm talking figuratively. Everybody in the world except those who could not speak Greek. You know what they call those that could not speak Greek? It's an interesting word, off topic. But when they heard them speak, they think they're saying bar, 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 bar. And so you know what they call them? Barbarians, all right? Barbarians, that's where that word comes from. And so the Bible is written in the Old Testament primarily in Hebrew. There's a couple of sections in there that's written in sort of modified Hebrew and Persian language called Aramaic. And so you've got the Hebrew in the Old Testament. You've got the Greek in the New Testament. Now then, think about the Old Testament. That's where our focus is, and that's what this study is. Think of a library. Think of a school library. Think of the order in which you've got books stacked on yourselves at home. The Bible is laid out in orderly arrangements. And so the Jews, as these books are being written, collected them, and organized them. The first five books are called the books of, well, sometimes people say law, and that's not an inaccurate, but there's a whole lot of history. There's a whole lot of history in Genesis and Numbers, a tremendous amount of history. It's interesting, they're called the books of Moses. In fact, if you've got a Bible, you may have the word Genesis, and the word Genesis will, the heading at that in your Bible, not in all translation, will say the first book of Moses. And the New Testament says, by the way, quotes and gives credit to Moses for writing Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All four of those books in the New Testament are called books of Moses, or said that Moses wrote them. And so you've got that first division. Can you name the books of Moses? Can you name? Guess what the first card is on when you get to the priest level. You see, the prophet, priest, and king get to the king level. The king level says, okay, you got to name these. We can do pretty well on those first. Can we say them together? Genesis, everybody out loud. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You got that? Don't you feel so smart? You know, that's where it all began. And that's the way you learn it. Seriously. If you don't know that, you know how long it would take you to learn Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? You know, I just want you to, it doesn't take that long to do it. And the names of those books will tell somewhat about the content of them. And so you've got the books of Moses. And then, after you get through the books of Moses, what happens at the end of the book of Deuteronomy? What would you guess would happen at the end of the books of Moses? Hey, is David here? Hey, David, how are you doing? David, I got some questions here I want you to learn the answers to. Will you do that for me, buddy? Huh? What's the best book in the world, David? David, you know the best book in the world? He's going to know that next week, right? Casey, he's going to know that next week. All right. What's the best book in the world? It's the Bible. And so I thought, didn't see him here just a minute ago. It has something for everybody, guys. It'll help you to have family devotions. You want to know what to talk to your kids about? Why don't you talk to them and start studying the Bible as a family as we're studying it here. And so we've got the Old Testament, and so we know the divisions of that, except after the books of Moses, what happens after Moses dies? Joshua? Judges? I'm glad you finally got it. Ruth? And 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You got the historical books. You've got Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. You've got the 12 books of history. And when you get to the book of Esther, listen to this. If you don't know this, here's part of sharpening that sword. When you get to the end of the book of Esther, historically, the Bible ends. Historically. You start in Genesis, and you start with Adam and Eve, and when you get to the book of Esther, that's it as far as Old Testament history is concerned. And so we got those 12 books of history. And if you don't know 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you need to learn that. And we'll talk about, as we go through there and look at some of those books, we're going to talk about the content of them, but you need to learn that. I hope that you know the books, the books of the Old Testament. You know what time it is? It's 7:06. Look at the rest of those things on that prophet card. Look down at that third thing. We said on the prophet card, we said, what's the theme of the Bible? Jesus, give me the Bible in three sentences. Someone is coming. Someone is here. Someone is coming again. If you ever go to India and you meet a Hindu who's never seen a Bible, let me tell you the story of the Bible. The first 39 books, somebody's coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel account, he's here. He's here. And the rest of it, he's coming again. That's the story of the Bible. And folks, you know, people, well, you just never could understand the Bible. If you'll get this skeleton on which to hang all of these things, and so we start by building the skeleton. We start with a prophet card, talk about all of these things, and we even have that prophet card marked in such a way so that you will be able to find out the things that we think are important for you to teach your children. And that is really, 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 really involved in that. You want to look at the last card? We'll come back here. Time's up. We got to stop here. It's stopping time. But look at the priest card tonight. Prophet, priest. Now look at the king card. I get it right this time. Look at the king card. The king card says, okay, say the books of the Bible. Tell me the first five books. Tell me the historical books. Tell me all of these things. And you've got all of that. And now look on the back of the king card, and you've got the king card, and you've got the historical division in 15 divisions. Do you know the story of the Bible well enough to talk about that the creation is first? And then what happens? What after? What? I mean, open up your Bible, you start reading the Bible, and Grayson, you're in India, and here's a Hindu he's never seen the Bible. You just get him to read the first five chapters of the Bible. Where's all the races come from? Where's language come from? Tell every bit of it. What's after that? The flood? What's after the flood? Tell me the story of the Bible. And she said, with a Hindu, God's never seen the Bible. Let me tell you the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is Bible stories. And let me tell you about God creating the world, about all of this, where language comes from, and about all of these things. And then let me tell you about the flood. And then let me tell you what God does. And that is, He picks out these patriarchs. Once there were three wandering Jews. You know that one? The first one's name was... Isn't that amazing? You learned that. You learned this song when you were 5, 6 years old. First name was Abram, Abram, Ham, Ham, Ham. You understand that? You remember? Why do we teach that? It's so that right now in the teen years of your life, you guys know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what happens after that? After the story of Jacob? When you get to the book of Genesis, you got Joseph. What happens in the book of Joseph? Not the book of Joseph, in the life of Joseph. Get them down to the land of Egypt. Can you tell me the story of the Bible? What happens after they get down to the land of Egypt? Who leads them out? Who takes that man's place? What land do they go to? What kind of government do they have? They'll have judges and they'll have kings. And that's where we are headed in this story, to try to give every one of you and do everything that you possibly can to get a hold of as much of this as you can. That's it. That's as far as we can go tonight. David, you've got some closing comments you want to make.
If you would like to have a field manual, it's empty at this time. We're going to add to it. As we continue to review. Once we get to the New Testament, it's going to be a completely different manual, because those of you who have the Old Testament manual know that it is very full. In fact, it's almost too full, but the Old Testament manual is completely full. But if you would like to have a manual that you can add these cards to as we review them and supply them to you over the next few weeks, I've got a box up here and be happy to let you have one when we get to the New Testament, brand new manual. It's not required. But if you want to help out with $5 per manual, that doesn't cover the cost of these things. Like I said, they've gone up, but $5 helps cover some of the cost of this just for doing that for the church. You don't have to give $5 in order to have one. That's just information for you. Let me ask you a question. Where do I need to put the Bible? On the back of that title card, there's three questions. Where do I need to put the Bible? What does it say? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Where's that found? Don't tell me on the back of the card. Where's that found in the Bible? Psalm 119 and verse 11. What does the Bible do for me? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where's that found? On the back of the card. Where's that found? Psalm 119, verse 105. Where do I need to put it? In my heart. What does it do for me? It guides my way. It's a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Why do I need to study it? Study it. Study that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Are you approved unto God? That's what this is all about. So that we can become approved to God. Somebody who doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for being here tonight.